Let's go to a familiar passage in John 17. As we gathered this morning, we've had a couple of weeks where we had other things going on. And, I just want to reconnect us for just a moment to what we were learning out of the manna, because out of the manna, it was not so much what the manna was itself, but the lessons that were being learned by the congregation of Israel through the manna. Because the congregation of Israel had some things that were going on because they had been removed from Egypt, but Egypt had to be also removed from them. And we saw with the first group was not able to actually do that because that was a type of the flesh. And so the flesh had to die off and so that those who would follow and walk after the new nature, after the Spirit, could rise up. And so out of 40 years, one of the things that really stood out to me was that for 40 years, no matter what they were doing, God fed them with the manna. For 40 years, He showed up every day. For 40 years, His provision was there. Regardless of their obedience, regardless of their agreement, regardless of even their desire for it, because they after a while began to complain, what is this worthless bread? And He still showed up. You start talking to me about my worthless bread, I'm probably just going to say, well, maybe a couple more days without it will teach you something. That might be my response to that. But He still showed up. See, there's a thing about Him. See, He's all merciful. And mercy is, basically sometimes unqualified. That word for mercy in Micah, and maybe we'll get there next week, but the word for mercy is actually revealed in the New American Standard as an unchanging love. An unchanging love. And so to be fed for 40 years was revealing a God with an unchanging love. Because His mercy was there for them. It was renewed for them every morning. And as that mercy was renewed for them every morning, they began to realize a few things. Because see, it's not possible for you to experience this level of continuity, this level of provision, and not begin to understand that your God is there for you. That He's there for you. That you can trust Him. That regardless of what the circumstance looks like, regardless of whatever else where you find yourself, your God is trustworthy. And that He loves you enough to provide for you. He loves you enough to release this unchanging love towards you. Every day. See, the lessons from the manna all pointed to a God who loves us. All pointed to a God that they really didn't know coming out of Egypt. They had an acquaintance with a God of a lot of laws. And the laws were revealed to them because the laws were what came to them in that desert to keep them in a safe place. See, one of the things of a father is supposed to keep you safe. That's what father does. Keeps you safe. But also, that law that was given there also quickened them to begin to understand that without God, we be not able. But with God, all things are possible. See, they got to see both sides of that same coin. So there was a, those were the things that, those were the backdrops of what we were looking at. Obviously, I've stated it a little bit different way because this morning I'm wanting to make a little bit different impact. But an unchanging God with an unchanging love. And because his love is unchanging for it, it's also continually unfolding for us. It wouldn't be possible for us to have a relationship without love actually unfolding for us continually. Because every chapter of our life, we have a different need than what we might have had in a previous chapter of our life. So therefore, the love is revealed to us in a slightly different way. We experience that to a limited degree when we're married with somebody, and as we go through life, our relationship will continue to change. Hopefully it's changing for the better. If it's like a relationship with God, it'll always be revealing and renewing itself in a wonderful way. And so what we have here, that's the backdrop of what part of what was going on. And out of this, we're reading here in John 17. And out of that, I guess what I'm trying to say is that one of the things that Israel learned was that it came out of Deuteronomy 8:3. And you don't have to turn there. But basically, that not only did they need the bread of life, but as important, maybe more important, they needed everything that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. Everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Every word that he would speak, everything that he would begin to impart, everything that came out of the mouth of the Father. Because see, the bread was taking care of their physical need. But see, he had so much greater provision for their life because his word was taking care of their spiritual need. It was taking care of their emotional need. It was taking care of everything that they had need of and maybe even hadn't even thought of yet. Every instruction that he was releasing was intended for their benefit. It was intended, see that, and see, sometimes we get it because we've had maybe some not so great instruction in our life. We kind of get this idea that instruction is and discipline are really bad words. That authority may be in discipline or bad words, but what he was revealing to them was that yes, if you will follow my instruction, I can prosper you. If you'll follow my instruction, I can promote you and accelerate you. I can bring you in to the promise that I have for you. But our coming into the promise can't happen outside of his instruction. We can have a promise given to us, but if we don't follow his instruction, we can't arrive at that destination. And so those were the things that we began to speak about. And see, we began to understand that there's a promise for every one of us. He's stirring a promise in your heart. He's stirring a promise in every person's heart at some level. It's just up to us to begin to come alongside and see his promise awakened in us. And so to that effect, John 17. That here's his prayer. Verse 20. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for all those who believe in me through their word. Now I have a question for you. Are you among those who believe in him through their word? That applies to us. applies to Father's House. It applies to everyone who is physically here and those who are connecting to us through live stream. It doesn't matter who it is. If you believe in Christ, you're believing in some part because of their word. Because God has put it in your heart to receive what they had to say because they had a firsthand account. Verse 21, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. See, now he's defining what it means to be one. Thou art in me and I in thee. And that they may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them that they may be one, just as we are one. Okay, if we understand what this glory is, then we can understand what we're in, what this really means. If we just look at the glory as, well, we're all shining light. We're all a fuzzy little cloud that has little green sparkles in it. We're all a haze that looks like purple across the land. I mean, those are some people's interpretation of glory. So what we want to understand is that this glory that he's talking about, there's an honor that is this glory. There's an honor out of this glory, and this honor is to be in union with the Father. Because, see, the Father honors the Son, and the Son honors the Father, and there's a union, a perfection of oneness that they enjoy. And it's this perfection of oneness, this union that you're being invited into. And so when you step into this oneness, this glory with Him, that is the glory. The honor, the place of honor to be at one with Him. That's the glory. That's the glory being released in you. Not something that you deserved. It's something He chose to give. If, you know, He's looking to do something with us and in us that we can't possibly deserve. It's not about us. It's about His goodness, His grace, His desire to be one with you. Because there are some things that flow out of that oneness that He can do in each and every one of us. Who we are is going to change because of the oneness. What we represent will begin to change because of the oneness. And I'm aware that some people, there's a teaching of oneness and all that, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being in fullness of agreement, fullness of love with the Father. We're talking about an area of faith, and faith that is in union and faith that is in His love. And so what we're releasing and recognizing here is that He desires for you to be at one with Him. Because as you're at one with Him, how He can actually have the greatest level of impact in you. If I am in oneness, God is no longer distant and far off. If I'm in oneness, I can begin to understand this God who supersedes everything else. And I can begin to see Him as actually bigger than my circumstance, which is way down there somewhere. See, if I'm busy looking at my circumstance and my circumstance seems to be bigger than I am, I haven't really come into oneness with the Father. Because that's not the way He sees your circumstance. So when I come into oneness with Him, I am seeing and beholding my circumstance through the eyes of the Father. When I'm seeing and beholding my circumstance through the eyes of the Father, it definitely changes how it looks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just need to get excited on that one. Because it is definitely different to look at your circumstance through His eyes. Sometimes it can be downright scary to look at your circumstance through His eyes. I'll tell you in this way, because see, one morning I'm minding my own business. I'm getting dressed and he shows me how he sees Kim through his eyes. And I was realizing I didn't see it that way. And that was an intimidating moment. It was an intimidating moment because, see, he sees her as a princess, as his bride. And I needed to understand that. And it changed something in the core of my believing and in the core of my relationship this way because of this relationship this way. For benefit of the MP3, it changed the relationship longitudinally versus because of the vertical relationship with God. Hallelujah. I've got to get on the move here. I'm still not even started on my message, but I'm just reviewing. And we're just getting everybody on the same page here. So verse 22 was, we were talking about the glory. Now he's going to be revealing more in verse 23. I in them and thou in me that they may be perfected in what? Unity. Oneness. Union with him. That the world may know that thou didst send me and did love them even now as thou loved me. See, this oneness results in the world knowing. It didn't say you know him because you had to know him to get there. But the world can now know. Why? Because you begin to look like him. You begin to act like him. You begin to talk like him. You begin to release the presence and the power of God like him. That the world may know. Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. In verse 26, and I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known that the love with which thou love me may be in them, and I in them. So when we have the opportunity, this is something we talked about the other day, we have the opportunity to be with him where he is. When we have that opportunity, see, that's an opportunity for mentorship. When somebody calls you and calls you alongside them, that's an opportunity to be mentored. It's an opportunity for them to impart something to you, to release something for you. When they call you up and say, hey, come to lunch, it's an opportunity for you to receive. It's an opportunity for something to be released and imparted. When the Father begins to call you up and say, hey, come and spend some time with me. When Jesus says, come and spend some time with me, it's an opportunity to be mentored, encouraged, and lifted up. And there's a purpose to this. That the love that was in Jesus, that he knew from his personal relationship with the Father, that he knew from his position as the Son, that love be in you. You know, in the beginning he said, light be. Now he's come and said, love be. Love be. And guess what? Love was. Love is. He's releasing his love out of this oneness, this unity, this union that we have in him. So, hallelujah. So turn with me because to John 5. Because as we go to John 5, I want to give credit where credit's due. I don't know, when LaRue shared Wednesday night, there was this something he said that really caught my attention. And so I will give him credit for having caught my attention. That was a good thing. And as it really caught my attention, it is something that I want to replicate at least a portion of what he said, and then add some thoughts and expand in my own directions. But at the same time, this core of this idea comes from John 5. Because he saw it and explained it in a very different way. And so that's what I want to release here. Hallelujah. John 5. Keeping in mind that we're coming out of a place of union with the Father is something that Jesus obviously did. John 5, verse 19. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, in other words, this is really important, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things. How many things? All things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him that you may marvel. So everything that he sees, everything that he does, and even more, he's being shown by the Father. All the things that we marvel at, guess where they came from? They came from this relationship that he had with the Father, because the Father was showing him all things. Now, I want to say, whoever has heard somebody saying something to the effect that the Father, I do nothing of myself unless it's something I see the Father doing. We've all heard somebody talking about that. But have we ever actually accounted for what that actually means? See, there's a lot of speaking about that, and I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it, and it shows a huge humility. It shows a huge agreement and a willingness to be one with the Father and a willingness to submit himself under the Father. And all those are things that we're doing. But, and things that we should be doing, but we need to understand what it actually means. What's the benefit? Why did Jesus do that? Part of it is revealed here in the word do. Two simple letters in the English language, do. Well, I see the Father do. So he's saying, I'm going to do whatever I see the Father do. I'm going to come alongside him, and I'm going to be a mirror image. Whatever I see Father do, that's what I'm going to do. What's do mean? It's an action. It's an action. But here, 4160 is the actual number in the Greek. And it means, here's the action that's happening. It means to make. Be author of. To acquire. To produce. To appoint. As you're appointing, you're declaring. It means to act rightly. It means to celebrate or keep. And to perform to a promise. To perform to a promise. In other words, that promise that is in your heart, that he said, the word do here, the word do is part of his performance to your promise. When he said, what I see my Father do, what my Father is doing is performing to your promise. And as I begin to come into an agreement with him, I am in actuality performing to my promise. I'm coming into alignment, to lockstep with him, to an agreement with him that takes me into the place of promise. Because why? Because he started out in the place of promise. He was holding the place of promise before I ever even got there. He's holding the place of promise and holding it open for you. And he begins to reveal it to you. The way LaRue was explaining was what the Lord has been doing with him is basically taking him into this place of love, because he would come into the rest and then come into the Father's love from the rest. And as he began to stay in this place of love with the Father began to step into him with his dreams. Step in dreaming with the Father. Dreaming with him. In other words, being awakened and quickened with him to the dream that the Father has for you. Sometimes we think the thing that we're thinking was just of our own imagination or our own desire, but maybe what we need to understand is that the thing that the Father is quickening to you, the thing that you see that's so far outside your ability to do it, the Father's already performing it. And drawing you into it. He's performing your promise and drawing you to it. He put these things in you for a reason. He made you uniquely who you are, not just for a season, but for a reason. Because it's who he is. So dreaming with the Father. This idea quickened me. This idea of dreaming with the Father, there's something that is about it that he wants us, as an impartation that he wants to give to you. In Acts, what did he say? He said, young men see visions and the old men dream dreams. What he was trying to release for you was that there's a quickening that happens when we come into the presence of God. And that quickening is a release of dream and vision. So as I began to contemplate these things, I began to see eight different things, and I'm sure there's more, but eight different things that dreaming with the Father actually begins to do in us. It actually begins to do it in you. Dreaming with the Father. Let me just roll through them real quick and we'll come back and explain. It allows him to lead by love. Number two, purifies our motivations. Number three, it reveals and releases your new nature. Number four, it causes us to know the hope of his calling. Number five, it releases the Father's dreams for his children. Number six, it expands your horizon. Number seven, and it removes religion. Number eight, it moves your thoughts forward. And certainly the last is not the least. And now when I'm explaining them, I know they may come out in a whole different order. I don't know. But we'll give it a shot. But I want to encourage you, okay, because it doesn't matter where you are in life. If you're just starting out or maybe you're a little bit more mature in your age, it doesn't matter where you are in life, because what God has for you has not yet been come into fullness. Regardless of where you are. Regardless of who you are. I learned something this week which was interesting, because we have this potted plant, and it's called a century plant, and it's kind of a little cactus thing. And this little cactus thing, in the last month or so, all of a sudden, shot up like 7 feet tall. It just sent up a big, huge stalk out of the center of it, 7 feet tall, above where it was. And see, what is happening there is that this is what it does. As the plant, before the plant dies, it actually shoots up this big thing, big stalk, and then all these other little starter plants are attached to it. And it shoots them out. So in its last moment, it is actually having its greatest impact, because now it's causing hundreds to be cast out around, everywhere around it, looking for fruitful land. This one's on concrete, so it's probably not going to find fruitful land. Because I don't need hundreds of century plants. I don't need a century of century plants all around my yard. But it's impacting to me is that in its last moment, it says its greatest level of impact. And so I believe it is with every Christian. My great uncle Fred was a man who was part of all the early revivals in the first of the century. He became a man who was vice president of the Assembly of Gods, and he was a missionary into Africa and India, and he would bring home all these little ivory things and all this stuff. And it was amazing. The man was blind. An amazing testimony. He was blind from his 20s. He didn't go blind while he was, you know, before when he was born or anything. He went blind in the middle of revival. He went blind. But instead of getting bitter, he got better. Instead of doing like most people are doing, going back in and being reclusive, he jumped out there and went out on the mission field blind. He would do a remarkable thing when you would interface with him. He would just come and he would touch your face, and as he released his fingers over your face, he would know who you were. But see, in his last days, when he was 80 something, he should have been just hanging out at the house. No, he was walking down the street to a biker bar and talking to the people. And when he passed away, it looked to me from my vantage point as a eight, nine-year-old kid, looked to me like 100 bikes. They led the procession because he touched all their lives in an amazing way. See, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. We can touch and we can make our greatest level of impact today and tomorrow. Hallelujah. So he set a vision. The Lord, when he begins to dream with you, he's going to begin to set a vision in your life. As he begins to dream with you, he's beginning to instill something in you, but he begins to allows him to be able to lead you by love. Remember in John 17, 26, it said so that the love could be revealed. It's not only being revealed to you and in you, but now it'll be revealed through you. As it's revealed through you, now there's an impact being released. Couldn't be released any other way. Because he only made one Betty the way you're made. He only made one Lynn the way you're made. Now, the love that he puts in you, now he releases, he's releasing it out in the world in a brand new way. See, it's easy for in the world system, most of our leading comes by fear. And I can tell you when I first started in the workforce and they gave me some authority, man, I led by fear. If you didn't do what I wanted, out. I fired people for lying to me. You lied to me once. You got a warning. You lied to me the second time. It didn't matter what, who you were, what the circumstance was. You're out. On the flip side of it, if you told me the truth, I would stand by you to the end. I had a guy his second day on the job. He went and he picked up a monitor for us. He got the CRT and he got it. And on his way back to the shop, somebody ran out in front of him and the monitor went splat on his dash and just broke into pieces. It's his second day on the job. And he comes into my office and I could tell he didn't want to come into my office. And he was like all shriveled up and, you know, like somebody who's going to get whipped. And he says, I didn't do anything with the monitor when I brought it back. Somebody ran in front of me and it broke. And I didn't even, I was writing something. I was working on some paperwork and I just didn't even look up. I said, okay, go to such and such place, get another one and wait till the next day after. So they think we fixed theirs and put their sticker on it and send it back. I know not everything was right in that picture. I'm just telling you what happened to an unsaved individual. But the deal was, he was totally shocked. He just stood there. He didn't know what to do. And I realized after about 5 minutes, he was still standing there. And I was like, what are you standing here for? He said, well, I'm not fired. I said, did you sound fired? Do you want to be fired? No. I said, well, then go work. You told me the truth. That's all I need from you. You know what? I had his loyalty all the days of that we worked together for two companies. It's simple. But what? But the problem was I was leading by fear when I could have been leading by love. When you lead by fear, only things that come out of fear, which is control, manipulation, pride, anger, all angst, all those things are all attached to that. But when you lead by love, the things that come with love, joy, happiness, the fullness, those things are released with that. You'll never get somebody's absolute best performance leading them by fear. You'll only get to the best performance by leading by love. And when the Father is dreaming, you're dreaming with the Father. Now you have the opportunity to understand His love. You have the opportunity to understand the security, the safety that you're in. And as you understand that security and safety you're in, you can understand what He has for you. Hallelujah. See, and there's something else that happens. When we're truly being led by love, there's nothing destructive attached to that. See, I hear a lot of times, and I'm not even going to, I don't want anybody on the internet or in this room to think that I'm talking about you. But a lot of times when we want to do something and we really want to do it, we say, God showed it to me. God led me to do this. God is doing it. We blame it on God. And it's just our flesh. And the problem with that, the destructive part of that is if we blame that on God, and you say, well, God let me out. When we do that and God didn't lead me out, then what happens is that the others who see that, who trust you, fall into the same trap. When I'm talking and Kim and I are looking at it's a decision to make. If I ever tell her the Lord said, then it's just done. It's sealed. But I have a great responsibility because I better not say the Lord said unless He did. I mean, I could just settle the argument easy, said the Lord said, and I could just go on my weary way and just justify whatever I wanted to justify. But if I do that, there's a price. So I don't say the Lord said unless I'm absolutely for sure. Because I don't want to lead her the wrong way. Because there's a price. When God leads, He leads by love. And there's not a price. There's a fulfillment released. There's a promise realized. That's who he is. So he purifies our motivation. See, this is related to the last thing we were just talking about. Because remember, in the definition of do, it's to act rightly. When we do, I say, so whatever we see the Father do, when we start doing whatever we see the Father do, that means the Father is acting rightly, so we're going to act rightly. That means that my motivations, my thoughts and intentions, what does it say in Hebrews 4 and 12, that the thoughts and intentions of our heart, those are the motivations. When those begin to line up with the Word, when they begin to line up with a promise, it takes us to the promise. Anything that doesn't line up gets filtered out. And it doesn't mean that all those things are bad things. Sometimes they're a good thing and a good desire. They're just the wrong direction. See, if I hear God say go, and I just begin going, and I'm going west, but he's going east, am I getting any closer? I kind of need to wait and hear until I hear the word, not just the word go, but I need to hear the next word say east. Do east to be with me. See, so it's not always the, sometimes it is. It's character flaws and sin issues that are being removed because they didn't line up with who God is calling you to be, because they're being an obstruction to getting you into the places that you're supposed to be. See, if you're, for example, I know one minister who was a smoker, and the Lord wanted to take him into places, but see, he couldn't take him to those places until he quit smoking, because they would never receive somebody who smoked as an authority in the Word. So there can be that season where God's removing something from you to release a greater thing for you. Sometimes those things are bad things. Sometimes it's just a way of a wrong direction, even if it's a good thing. Golly, I got to speed up. I'm 2 into 8. He reveals and releases your new nature. He shows you who you really are. He shows you what's happening at the core, because if you understand what's happening in your core, you can begin lining up with his dream and his vision for you. It's out of the good treasure of the heart we release that which is good. See, in my core, I've always had a heart that was sensitive. Now, growing up, I learned to shut that thing off. I learned it pretty well. Because when you're hanging out with people that I hang out with, it wasn't very cool to be sensitive. It was going to get you stomped. And so I was not going to do that. So it's a pain avoidance told me to not let anybody know that I could be sensitive in my heart. But see, that very thing is the very thing God wanted to accent, not hide. He wanted to accent it. He wanted to bring it and mature it. I'm trying my best to hide it. Say, no. Okay. This whole idea of coming and dreaming with God, it's more than an encounter. It's a transformation. It's more than an encounter. It's transformation. Because see, an encounter, sometimes we can start to use our encounter to validate who we are. Did you know? Did you hear that I had an encounter with God? Did you know that I had an encounter with God? Did you see my encounter with God? Have I told you this week about my encounter with God? Now this makes me the biggest Christian on this block. See, I've been to validate who I am. So now, guess what? That's only puffing up the wrong thing. It's puffing up the things that we really don't want. God is not trying to blow those things up. He wants change, true change in our life. And he brings an encounter along to encourage you, to lift you up, to get you on the same page. And out of this encounter, there's something that's released that's called truth into your life. It's not about puffing you up. It's about letting you go into where you're supposed to be. We can't be in alignment with him until we see that he's going due east. When he begins to reveal your new nature, he's also revealing something to you. He's revealing to you that he's not scared of your issues. He's not scared of your issues. So don't you be scared of your issues. Don't let your issues hold you back from what God said you could have. Don't let your issues hold you back from stepping into the promise he has for your life. Because, you know, as in the process of stepping into the promise, I guarantee he's going to deal with the issue. He's not going to leave the issue there because he wants the issue gone more than you want it gone. He's going to show us the hope of his calling. Ephesians 1:18 says we'll know that we're being opened and illuminated and enlightened so that we know the hope of his calling. When we know the hope of his calling, we're emboldened. We're made confident. Why? Because now it's not just me. I'm not on an island all by myself, Steve. I'm now with God. And God's with me. And he's showing me that, you know what? He said that stadium that I've been speaking to you about, I'm filling it today. I'm filling it today. Those arms that you've been wanting to see grow out, guess what? I've prepared them for you today. It's coming. Because when you begin to see with him, just like Jesus began to see with him, he began to see it because he was dreaming with him, because he began to speak into him, and every day, day by day, he would go and pray, and the Lord would show him what was happening today. It says in Matthew 15, it says that he went and prayed, and he went up on the mountain and prayed, and guess what? Two verses later, he said, he's stepping out on the water, walking to catch up with the guys. Just where he saw it. Father said, hey, when you're done here, go ahead and walk on the water over there. Go ahead and walk on the water and catch up with them and take that boat to the other side. You want to walk on the water, begin to dream with him. Begin to see through his eyes. Because as you begin to see through his eyes, you're beginning to see something that is greater than what you could have imagined yourself. As you begin to see through his eyes, you begin to have a passion that matches his. As you begin to see through his eyes, your zeal will be increased. As you begin to see through his eyes, your position will be changed and transformed. Our greatest days are ahead when we begin to see through his eyes. Why is that? Because every father has a dream for his children. I know as a father and a grandfather, I have dreams for my children, my grandchildren. When I get to spend time with my grandchild, I'm speaking into his ear. I'm speaking into his heart. I'm releasing over him every moment that I'm with him. And it's either in a love or just even in a tangible word. You are loved. You are worthy. You are smart. You are wise. You are strong. You are blessed and highly favored. See, your father wants to speak these things over your life. He wants to release these things into your life because as he releases these things into your life, there's a change that happens in your heart. I may have had the worst day of all, but if the Father comes and says, I'm loved, I'm valued, I'm blessed and highly favored, I begin to look at my day in a different way. And I look forward to tomorrow with a hopefulness now that I couldn't have had. He's allowing you to cross thresholds of unbelief into faith because of his visitation in your heart, his habitation, better word, in your heart. As we dream with him, this is beginning to open up. He expands your horizons. Remember in Genesis 15, when he began to speak to Abram and he began to call him Abraham, he said, I will make it as the sand of the seashore. Your children shall be as the sand of the seashore. So far he hadn't even had one. But was the word that he received, was it true? Have the children become as great as the sand of the seashore? The word of the Lord was true. The dream was true. The vision release was true. It began to expand his horizon. When you begin to realize that what he's placing in front of you is as big as the stars of the sky and as numerous as the sand on the sea, it changes your position. We recently took Grayson to Galveston, and this is my grandson. And as we were in Galveston, you know, I'm thinking that from Grayson's standpoint, he probably thinks the ocean is limited to that little place in front of the house where we were. And it's about a foot to a foot and a half deep with waves. Why? Because that's the part he got to explore. That's the part he experienced. That's all he can know because that's all he experienced. And I think that he was so, because I've never seen a kid who was just so in the water. I mean, he ran, when he got there, he ran and he just did a Superman into the surf. And then he got up and he did another Superman into the surf. And he just continued to do it and the waves came in and just rolled him over. And he just got up and he was great and he just went back and found another place to do it all over again. We didn't encourage him. He just did it. He just loved the water. But see, all of it that he got to experience was a foot to a foot and a half deep. Yeah, when you're 2 years old and about 2 feet tall, that's a lot. But we know how much bigger the ocean is. We know that it goes far beyond what we can see, and it goes far below anything that we can experience. And you know what? The dream the Father has for you is just as big in scope as what the ocean was to Gray's experience. The dream the Father has for you is just as big in scope, and it's so much bigger than what we've experienced. So much greater than what we know. But he's willing to take you there. If you can know it's his dream, because it's bigger than what you can do. If it's bigger than what you can do, obviously you're going to have to be with him to get there. Best place you can be. Hallelujah. I got to wrap this up. So he removes religion. He eliminates who he is, and he eliminates the grace that he is, and the grace that's with him. See, religion wants to squelch things of the Spirit. I'm talking about the cold, dead kind. I mean, I know people use religion for a lot of different terms, but I'm talking about the cold, dead law. Those are the things that I'm talking about there. It wants to squelch the Spirit. But you know what? Being in relationship, stepping into the dreams, he wants to release the Spirit. He wants to release the Spirit that brings increase. He wants to bring the Spirit that prospers you and matures you to who you can be. It prospers you and matures you into the promise that he's put in front of you. Hallelujah. And lastly, he wants to move your thoughts forward. Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, I'm going to try to say this without being offensive, so I'm going to say it about me. As I've gotten older, one of the things I found is that there's a place where you want to go back and think about all the old days and how much greater, how all that was good. But see, what a lot of times you're actually doing is you're rehearsing some past failures and limitations. We don't need to do that. God wants to take us into something that's greater. It doesn't matter. Our last season, our next season, the rest of the seasons, everything you got going on is going in front of you. He wants to bring your thoughts in front of you. The last might have been glorious, but the next is more glorious. To get to that place, he shows you how to begin to celebrate. Remember one of the words for do? What I see my Father do, one of them was to celebrate and keep. The Father will celebrate and keep something as a part of what he does. When he does something, he wants to celebrate and keep. He wants to author, remember? He wants to author. That's part of the word do. In other words, it's a creative process. So when we begin to stand with him in a creative process, then that begins to author something in us, and then it begins to celebrate. He gives us something to celebrate. And when we begin to celebrate, it changes the course of our thinking. When you have a small thing, today I can do this. Today I can do this one thing. And it might be a small thing. Maybe you're just getting now to getting to be a dad. And you say, if I just put this diaper on, if I can manage to figure out how to do this, it's a small thing. But if I celebrate it, it releases a whole thing of fatherhood into my life. If I take this one thing, if I take this one thing, then all I have to do is I can step into this one task. I can see one task in front of me. If I step into that and I celebrate it, no matter how small it is, when I begin to shepherd over these 10 people that are with me and I just celebrate it, now, guess what? It takes me into the next thing. It takes me into the next step. I begin to celebrate it. It doesn't matter because, see, what the enemy wants to do is take you out of alignment by convincing you that it's insignificant. But, see, if it's part of the promise, whatever is part of the promise that God has released to you, it's always significant. Zechariah 4:10 tells us to not despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. It doesn't matter how insignificant, how small it might seem. If it's a step into the promise, if it's a step into what God says you are and who he says you are and where he says you're going, then it's always going to be significant. And your cooperation with him is a mighty step in the place, in the direction of destiny. Purpose is released through obedience. John 8:56 says this. Abraham saw. Jesus is speaking this to the Pharisees. He said, Abraham saw this day and he rejoiced. Abraham saw this day. How did Abraham see Jesus' day? He saw because he began to dream with the Father about what was coming. He began to dream with the Father. And as the Father was speaking to him, you're going to have sons and daughters, and it's going to be as mighty as all the sand in the seashore. He began to see not only that, but he shot past that place into the place where he began to see the risen Messiah coming. He saw the day and he rejoiced because he knew that this son is going to be alive. He knew the dream wouldn't stop with him. This son is going to be alive. Your dream has only gotten to the place where it can be expanded. No matter what's happened in your life, your dream is only at the place where it's ready to be expanded into the next thing. I can tell you in my own personal life that when things got shut down in one area, what it meant was I am finally at the moment for my season to change and into the next thing that God is releasing over my life. He's releasing something today. There's an atmosphere of breakthrough that's being released into your heart. There's an atmosphere of promise and hope being released into your heart. It doesn't matter what happened in the last season. This next season that's coming, there's a release, a promise, because we're beginning to dream with God. Because we're entering into the fruit of the dream with God. Hallelujah. God bless you.